Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart. But we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits. A uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart. But entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts. Dare to combine.
Ayo, welcome into the CHGO Live White Sox Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome in to the live CHGO studios. Why am I keep saying live? Our CHGO studios here in Studio A of our West Loop offices. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. I'm the host of the CHGO White Sox Podcast. Just very excited because he is back from Milwaukee this time.
It's so far. Went over another ocean, yeah.
Milwaukee. he is the birthday boy. It's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. His latest post covering spring training invites and what the 26-man roster may look like when opening day starts up is currently up at allchgo.com. And that's Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter, at EcknerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. Vinny. Hope you enjoyed Milwaukee. We did see our guy Rod Dizzle post a little picture of you two hanging out in a tiki bar. And you're wearing this crazy hat. And the Yoan Moncada t-shirt, too, which I'm glad you busted out for Milwaukee. Only for the important days, as you can see, the live listeners. You got the Yoan Moncada shirt that you also wore at your wedding. So birthdays.
Unintentional, but yes.
Birthdays and weddings. and then you got this crazy... I thought immediately of Mike Love, and I know you don't like that, but I thought immediately of a Beach Boy.
I thought you're of Captain Steubing.
There you go.
I thought of Jimmy Buffett right away. I don't know.
None of these are good.
Steubing's not good?
What were you going for?
Oh, I wasn't going for anything. This was part of my birthday gift from some friends that we went up that we went up to Milwaukee with. So we stayed at an Airbnb that was it's the floor above a tiki bar in Milwaukee. So I'd always wanted to go to this tiki bar. We discovered that the upstairs is an Airbnb that you can rent. It's all tiki themed. They've got all the accoutrement up there. So we stayed up there, and so it was a tiki themed weekend outing to the good land. And so yes, the hat was a surprise when I got in the car. And here you go. Yeah,
what
have
bar?
To wear this hat all weekend.
What bar is this? I'm curious. I've never been.
The name of the bar is Milwaukee, Foundation. So. Okay, and I've been to many a tiki bar in many a city in this country and one others, but the one up there in Milwaukee is one of the best. It's fantastic.
Might have to check it out.
Yeah, feel free.
I'm going up next weekend, so
probably in Vinny's recommendation.
Inexpensive drinks.
Yes. So we were shocked. So a tiki bar you walk into, you are expecting to pay 16, 18, 20 bucks per drink, you know, because they're extraordinarily crafted and fancy and contain a bunch of ingredients that they don't have at a regular bar. Fresh fruit, usually, all that stuff. They're about $9-$10 up here in Milwaukee. So if you are looking for a deal on a very, very good cocktail, comes with my highest stamp of approval.
Aloha. Yeah, I do like, too, behind Rod, there's like a snowboard of all the, with they got like all NBA teams on there.
So
and
this,
it's a 47 brand, too, which is a very... very nice, as I got the 47 hat on.
This was not the bar I was just recommending. This was another stop that we made that evening. But another very good bar with very good drinks, the Mothership up there in Milwaukee. So that's where I ran into one of our great listeners and was happy to see, you know, a Sox fan up there on the other side of the border.
Yeah, shout out to Rod, who I also think... in the tweet, what, he said he's from Iowa?
Iowa. Riyadh. I believe his name is Riyadh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got a different handle there.
Gotcha. But, yes, Riyadh and White Sox.
Yeah, but he was visiting from Iowa, so it was, you know, going across numerous Wisconsin borders to get to Milwaukee on this fine freezing cold weekend. It never stopped snowing.
No,
all day we were walking all over town, just pouring snow.
I drove in it on Saturday. It wasn't fun, and it was all day Sunday, and I didn't want to go out. It wasn't good. But I'm glad you enjoyed it. There you go. You got some recommendations if you're going up to Milwaukee like Kevin is. So, you know, make the most of it if you're going up to the good
land. Absolutely. Another one, At Random. That might have been that was a highlight of the weekend. Boozy milkshakes as that made Kevin, our editor, turn around. He's co-signing that.
Are they
one.
Off of like Brady Street or Third Street? Those are the really the only bars I've ever been familiar with going
no,
to school there.
No, Bayview. You got to get down to Bayview.
Oh, okay.
Down there.
Sure.
That's where all the good stuff was.
Mm, got it.
Absolutely.
Duly noted.
Never been. You've been to Milwaukee?
I've been to Milwaukee.
It's so
I mean,
close.
I've been to the Brewers Park, but that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been mostly to Brewers Park, wherever they call it, American Family Field. But after last year's game, we went into downtown Milwaukee. It was the day after the Bucks. Was it last year or the year before? The Bucks won the championship, and so we were downtown Milwaukee while they were still celebrating. I can see why people love that city. As Vinny says, the drink, it's like Chicago, but it's much more inexpensive there, and the people are just the same, but they like the Packers instead of the Bears, and like the Bucks instead of the Bulls. And some reason, they like the Brewers.
Hey, there will be no Miller Park slander on this this podcast. We all love Miller Park.
I would love.
They got the great a great logo, too. One of the top 10 logos of, you know, sports history.
With the M and the B and the glove.
Mercy. Yeah. And who doesn't love the colors? I mean, the colors are just – love that blue and the yellow.
And we just had Bob Uecker's birthday last week, too.
Yeah.
It is the good land for a reason. They have great food up there. Some bratwurst every time you go up there.
We went to we went out for dinner. We went to a place with sausages, and you could order your sausage Milwaukee style, which means it's covered in cheese curds and liquid cheese as well.
Ooh, that sounds
so it
like
it was very
doing too
messy
much.
And very good.
It sounds like
was it good?
Oh, it was good. Yeah.
Could it do without the liquid cheese? Because that's the thing that gets me.
I guess.
So cheese curds are the
to me, it kind of went, it was it served the purpose that a other condiment would serve.
Okay.
So I didn't have any mustard or anything on it like that because I had cheese.
Seems garbage platey. The Pittsburgh delicacy where they put like fries, they put two hamburger patties. It's like, some tots as well. Some mustard. Just seems a little bit too much.
That sounds pretty good.
Why not two buns for the brats with some mustard? Mm. Sounds good to me. Yeah. I don't know. Green Ridge Farm style, hey, a little champagne honey mustard.
And AJ, I was not at any Jewels yesterday, so you did not see me. But many folks apparently try to impersonate me around local Jewels.
Maybe. I mean, you might find Herb in a Jewel.
I mean,
take a photo.
Come say hi. Don't take a photo. That's weird.
Well, I mean, go say hi and take a photo.
Yeah.
In the bakery section.
When I'm shopping for my Fiber One cereal, don't take a picture. Just come say hi. Why are you eating this crap? I got to start eating better. We'll have a conversation.
You should be having that Fiber One cereal Milwaukee style.
With a little cheese on it.
Cheese curds and liquid cheese. Absolutely.
That's way too much.
It would improve the cereal. Definitely.
Shout out to Sean
Crowley. They're not a sponsor, right? Fiber One? Okay, cool.
Not yet. I mean, after that raving endorsement, I have to eat healthy because I have to.
Oh, it's terrible.
Shout out to Sean Frolich, who says 4 to 5 podcasts during a dead zone of baseball is no easy feat. Thank you, fellas. We appreciate that. And also to Jordan, 19961 Jordan, who said, I think, something a little bit up higher. Sorry, Kevin. A couple good Sox podcasts out there, but this one's the best. Appreciate it. And to Matthew Lucas as well. Matthew was a part of a social clip that we just put out, too. He was the start of the question about where White Sox fandom is, if it's at an all-time low. Matthew led off that clip, so shout out to Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew.
And if you guys are looking to become a diehard, check out allchgo.com. We will be opening up the Monday mailbag in just a second. But as Jordan asked earlier about an MLB The Show tournament this year, I'd be down. I know Herb's an avid player. They just announced their new cover athlete of the Miami Marlins, future White Sox, Jazz Chisholm. What do we make of the news? What do we make of this announcement that Jazz is now going to be on MLB The Show 23?
Happy's getting recognition, but as a avid player of the game, he doesn't fall to the level, or he's not on the level of the players that they've had previously. Last year, Shohei Ohtani. I don't know how you get to that level. That guy is, probably top three, if he's not the best in the league. Then before, you had Bryce Harper, you've had Tatis after his extraordinary year. However you want to say about Javi Baez, at the time he was on the cover artist of MLB The Show, he was hot. The thing is that Jazz Chisholm, I know him, you know him, Vinny knows him. Do regular, everyday gamers and or baseball fans know Jazz Chisholm? I would say no. And so I'm glad that he got the recognition, but I don't know if he rises to the level of MLB cover artists. So it's a good thing for him, but, you know, if you're going to keep consistent with the cover artists, I would have liked to see somebody of that caliber. I think, what, he's made an all-star game last year. Mm-hmm. If we're going to go that way, Tim's never been on the cover. And they pretty much had similar years last year where they had all-star years and then hurt for a good portion of it. So, yeah, I would love to see somebody else. KPW's guy, who I'm picking this year, is going to be a breakout star, even though he's already a star, in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That guy would have been a great person on the cover. But congratulations to Jazz Chisholm. I'm going to still play the game.
Yeah. Hey, it's entertainment, right? It's mm-hmm. fun. And I think everybody is constantly, you know, fretting that, oh, not enough people are watching baseball and liking baseball. How do we get baseball out there? I don't think the answer is necessarily to have your video game, an even more of an entertainment product than the actual entertainment product that is baseball, have this strict rule that it needs to be someone who has a certain amount of war and all of that. Put a guy on there who's fun. I mean, that's the thing about Javi Baez. Say whatever you want about him. The man is exciting to watch play baseball. Mm-hmm. It is fun to watch him do the things that he does on a baseball field. I think a lot of the other guys you said that have been on the cover, like Fernando Tatis, fall in that category as well. If Jazz Chisholm is the kind of guy who does highlight real things that bring other people into the game because they saw it on social media or they saw it in the trailer for MLB The Show, good. You know what I mean? Get people excited to come into the game. It doesn't necessarily just have to be the guy who is an MVP caliber player. It can be somebody who is fun. I always call Tim Anderson one of the faces of baseball, not necessarily because he's the best shortstop or he's the best player or he's on the best team or anything like that, but because when he does stuff, people pay attention. Mm-hmm. And he is a guy that they want to have in all of their marketing material because he is fun, he is entertaining, and I think that is probably as important, if not more important, than making sure that, you know, you're rewarding someone for their stat line.
Yeah, and I mean, too, you look at the history of the covers, I mean, you could label most of the players as fun or legendary. I mean, going back to 2014, Miguel Cabrera, Yasiel Puig. Puig was a personality, had a lot of highlights that he could, you know, always pop off. Donaldson had a historic year, but I think also, too, like, you know, he had a Toronto connection, a fun story as well before he turned a little bit sour. That was the good Blue Jays days. Then Ken Griffey Jr., pretty fun. Aaron Judge, I thought they could have probably ran him back as the cover artist, you know, about 5 years later, just because 62 is very special. Who doesn't want to hit, you know, as many home runs possible? That's kind of like the whole video game thing.
Sure.
You can never put Barry Bonds in a video game, too. Barry Bonds was never on a cover.
He wasn't in the union.
So,
he wasn't even
John
in the game.
Dowd?
Yeah, John Dowd in MVP baseball, yeah.
White dude, too.
Yes.
Yeah. They flipped everybody's race that wasn't in the union.
Yeah.
And Damian Miller was Roger Chamberlain. He was black guy.
Look at the knowledge. Yeah. Harper, Baez, Tatis, and
he's
Ohtani.
Like, no, I don't want to be in this game. I'm Damian Miller.
Yeah. Non union Damian Miller. I just find it interesting.
I don't know his name still.
Oh, I definitely remember. What was they made Kevin Millar? He was a black guy in there, too, with a blonde beard.
What was his name? Kevin Millar was replaced by Anthony Freese.
Anthony Freese, yes.
Oh, you know, I remember Anthony Freese.
I was trying to remember that name. Yes. Okay. Anthony Freese.
I had no idea that was Kevin Millar.
There's only a very small handful of people who weren't in that game, but the ones that were, you remember.
Is it because, was Kevin Millar like a scab or something? Like, was he like a 94 strike or something? Is that why he's
not
a
sure
guy?
I'm not sure exactly why. I think some of that applies to those guys, yeah, but...
Yeah, because it's weird that I would definitely think he would be like, oh, yeah, I'm a union guy and I want to be in this damn baseball game. Barry Bonds, yeah, I think he was just following the Michael Jordan playbook where Michael was like, nah, you ain't using my likeness in any of these games. That's why he's not in NBA Jam for all those years. You had Horace and Scotty.
Look at you. Millar was a replacement player during the 94-95 baseball strike where he played with the replacements in early 95, and therefore he is barred for membership in Major League Baseball Players Association. So, yeah, you're right that he was a scab and probably goes for – the same goes for Damian Miller,
could
I
be.
Assume. There you go. I just find it interesting though, like FIFA, completely different company, MLB The Show is produced by San Diego Sports, but FIFA, like the past 3 years, it's been Kylian Mbappe. Like he is the face of soccer and he's been on the cover for, you know, the past 3 years. Ronaldo was on it for 2 straight years. Messi was on it for, I think, like 4 straight years. Wayne Rooney was on it 7 different times. So I just wonder, like, you know, what is the thought process? And I'm surprised it didn't go back to the Aaron Judge well. But hey, Jazz Chisholm, if he has a big year, it could be huge. But like Connor also said, it's a cover. You only just look at it when you buy the game or when you're click and play. It doesn't really affect the actual game.
I would like though. I know that it's like a thing. Like it's an honor for a guy to be on a video game cover. I think I'd like to see it get changed up though. You know what I mean? It's always like one guy on a cover, one guy. Make it like a collage or something. You know, where you're putting a bunch of different people on there. Maybe guys from different eras. You know, different. Just smash it all together and make it kind of just fun for everybody.
Well, I know my gamer people mostly buy their games online, and they're not grabbing the actual physical copy of the game. Mm. And so your idea would have merit there, where you could just do that because they update the lineups every like 5 days, wherever it is.
And you love at the beginning, like the little, I don't know if they even do this for games anymore, but the little like intro video where it's all the guys on there and you're like, oh yeah, it's that guy and that guy and that guy, you know.
They almost did that with one of the NHL games with Taze and Kane both holding the cup at the same time. It wasn't like a collage, but it was almost two players at once, but then allegations came out and they made it just Taze. But I do remember a couple games like that having collages before.
One of the NBA 2Ks had like Magic, Larry, and Jordan on it. I think the NBA has done a couple multi ones.
And TA, Jordan brings up a point. Like I was thinking about, TA did the RBI baseball a couple years ago, wondering if the people at San Diego Sports were like, he was on that other game. We're going to give him a punishment. Because to me, as you said, TA is more nationally known than Jazz Chisholm. No shade. But if we're going to go with a player who's a little bit more undercover and bringing people into the umbrella that would not have been under the umbrella previously, TA would be my guy. So hopefully a 2023, TA kills, and he's on the cover next year.
Also, but like, why not, you know, Francisco Lindor's pretty fun. New York Met. Yeah. You know, I don't understand. He's a little bit more accomplished, too. I would think that would make a little bit more sense. It doesn't have to be TA. I know our mind goes to TA because he's right there.
He's our guy.
At least the bobblehead is. I think that Lindor could have been a guy. I just, like, they have a Cy Young on their team, and they didn't even go with the Cy Young.
Here's the thing. I mean, you know, but yeah, but also, too, like, Then you'd have folks complaining, oh, it's only New York or L.A., you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's cool to kind of explore the whole sport, and maybe this introduces someone who buys MLB The Show every year but doesn't watch a lot of games outside of maybe their favorite team. You know, maybe this introduces them to a guy who maybe they should be paying more attention to.
Hey, Ohtani was on the cover last year, and I didn't buy the game for, like, the first time in, you know, 14 years or something.
I know,
like,
Ben
that.
Verlander brought it.
Oh yeah, he did.
Bought like 7 copies.
He's got the collector's edition where it probably gives you an Ohtani poster and everything.
And this is a side. Did you guys see the most valuable, the Cy Young awards this year given out this weekend to both Sandy and to Justin Verlander? On the bottom, most valuable player or most valuable pitcher, valuable spelled incorrectly. No A the middle. I'm like, who's doing these awards?
Just
come on.
Copy editors are important, guys.
Keep it simple. MVP. Can't screw that up.
Yeah.
Just three letters.
Ben Verlander went back to Justin's old award where they had just said most outstanding pitcher. So they had changed the wording and then got it wrong. Come on, MLB.
Most outstanding pitcher.
Yes.
Justin Verlander is a mop.
Hire an editor. Let's go.
Kevin, you want another job? Let's take a quick break, and we'll get into uniform talk. I see some 83 slander in the chat. We'll talk about Nike's new supposed rule for some of the major league teams and what the plans will be for the uniform rollout in 2023. Want to take a break, let you know about Green Ridge Farm. We are talking about brats, and now I'm hungry. We got some in the fridge over there. Be perfect day to go heat up the grill. You know, when it's snowing
it would not be a perfect day. No, stay inside at all costs. It's miserable outside.
It's only 5 minutes, friends.
You can put it in your own stove. Use it as a grill that way.
You could, you know, oven
skillet,
it, microwave it,
air fryer,
grill it, air fry it too. Green Ridge Farm is a Chicago.
What? You're referencing a game back in the 90s.
I just didn't hear
you. Don't know what bop it is?
Twist it.
I know what bop it is. I just have bad hearing.
No.
I know what bop it is.
Yeah.
We should play bop it on like a Thursday. We're always looking for games. Can Herb beat Vinny and Bop It?
Yes.
Yes,
he can.
Green Ridge Farm is a local product. They're a Chicago local meat and cheese company offering you a better all-natural option. They're the makers of all-natural deli meat, sausages, and their famous meat sticks, perfect for tailgating, happy hour, school lunches. And these all-natural meat sticks are hardwood smoked for 8 hours. And with 16 grams of protein per stick, they make a perfect post-workout snack. Meat sticks come in chicken, black forest beef, and flavors like jalapeno cheddar and spicy chili. If you haven't tried them yet, you don't know what you're missing out on. They are delicious because they are recipes made from recipes generation in the making, and being all natural, they deliver a fresh and flavorful alternative at snack time. You can always find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, Sam's Club, or in your local Chicagoland grocery store. Whenever I'm in the Jewels, I can walk by my deli and see their nice turkey selection, their nice chicken selection, their nice ham, very lovely deli products over at the Jewel from Green Ridge Farm. Green Ridge Farm, simply natural meat. Also, want to let you know about our friends over at ComEd. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future. ComEd offers a wide array of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across our territory, and customers can inquire about how to upgrade updated lighting to energy and money-saving efficient LED lights. Learn more about network lighting to operate your lights through your mobile device and track your facility's energy usage and more. Incentives have recently increased for indoor-outdoor lighting and network lighting controls, making these projects even more cost-effective than before. So visit ComEd.com/poweringbiz. That's ComEd.com/poweringbiz. Now to start saving money and energy and to start saving a project, contact us at 1-855-433-2700. For more information, email businessee@comed.com or publicsectoree@comed.com. Let's get into the uniform talk here. We also got two transactional talks, and we got one mailbag question that we'll get into a little bit later. But recently, Nike, during this offseason, has told MLB teams that their plan is now to get uniforms down to 4 jerseys plus 1 City Connect. Bill DeWitt, the owner of the Cardinals, was talking recently and revealed kind of Nike's idea. Also said that the Cardinals uniforms won't get, the City Connects won't get to St. Louis until about 2024. And the rumor was that they would start recycling or getting new City Connects in 2024. So now
teams that have already gotten one.
Yeah, like the White Sox were planned to get one in 2024. So now you'd expect a new City Connect for the White Sox in 2025, just with the way that this is rolled out. But now, what do we make of what the uniforms might look like in 2023? If the White Sox have to get rid of one uniform, which one would have to go? Currently, the white pinstripes, they have the black homes, they have the South Side, they have the road grays, they have the 83s, and then that's then they also technically have the black away ones.
It's the same jersey.
Same jersey.
Different combination, I
different
guess
Different combo.
Could say.
I would assume that doesn't count, and that the black jerseys, if they go with the black alternates, they could still have those either at home or away.
Yeah. There was also one of the links that you sent that was talking about the Mariners, mm-hmm. also said that there might, that the spring or the batting practice uniforms might count also in that
equation.
Oh, I missed count. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading that too.
Yeah.
If we're talking about the White Sox and which uniforms need to go, you know my answer. 1983 uniforms on Sunday, those uniforms I never liked. I get why people do like them, but I think it's a good tribute that they've done, what, since 2014, I believe, they've been wearing those on Sunday in some form or fashion. It's time to move on. They have way too many good uniforms in their history to just be sticking with that one. If they want to continue to wear those, I know Nike is putting the kill on that. I would have done before this where they rotate those every Sunday to, hey, here's a turn back the clock game, here's the uniforms we're wearing this week, here's the uniforms we're wearing next week type of thing. But if we're going to get rid of one all total, 83 uniforms go away, bring back my vest on Sundays.
Oh, now you're bringing a jersey back.
Yeah, we're getting rid of one. We gotta replace it with something.
So Bill DeWitt said you have 4 jerseys that you can wear home and road, so pinstripes and road grays, I would say, are staying. The Mariners got rid of their road grays, but I don't think the White Sox are going to get rid of their road grays, so I would assume that the home and aways are going to stay the same.
It said in the article, too, that only the Mariners and the Padres have non-gray uniforms as their road uniforms. The Padres are wearing their brown, the Mariners are wearing their blue, which is going to be very odd when the White Sox want to wear their dark uniforms at home and they're hosting the Seattle Mariners.
That's true. No, but so they'll be probably like, stuck to being wearing white.
Dark everywhere.
Yeah, but they'll just probably have to be stuck wearing white.
No,
right?
But you're a home team. You dictate what's going on.
I guess. Hey, Southside Mondays.
Especially if you're in a slump where you've been wearing your white uniforms at home and you've been losing a lot. It's like, let's change it up with our black uniforms. Hey, sorry, Mariners. We're going to look the same today.
Or like Southside Mondays. You know? I'm not sure if it'll be Southside Mondays too. But they'll also have home, road, two alternates, plus your City Connect. So the Southsides will stay. The home pinstripes will stay. The roads will stay, so you'll probably go with the black alternates. And I mean, is there a way the 83s stay? I guess you keep 83 Sundays. But
I think 83s are definitely going to stay because the majority of White Sox fans like them. I'm very vocal minority about the 83s. I see in our comments there's a couple people who don't like the 83s, like myself. But for the most part, people enjoy those and enjoy going out to those games. I looked it up last year. I think the White Sox went 7-5 on the Sundays that they did wear the 83 uniforms. Remember at the beginning of the year, they didn't wear the 83 uniforms on Sunday, and I was like, yes, let's go. And Vinny was like warning me. He's like, hey, it doesn't mean they're not going to be wearing them. Just means they're not here right now. And when it was May 15th, I believe, the first time they wore it, I was like, son of a bitch. I thought we had died.
We saw a couple times, like, they wore the Southsides on Mondays, but then we saw it, you know, if they won the game, it would go over to Tuesday. Like, yeah, the starting pitcher would.
I believe the starting pitcher is allowed to pick what jerseys they wear. Right. And I mean, that's how other teams have done it in the past. Certainly there are times when they don't, like when the team says we're wearing these every Sunday kind of thing, or maybe
Saint
there
Patrick's
is
Day.
A clash of some kind with the other team. But listen, this is just, you don't need to be serious about this. This is just whatever you want to see your team wearing. Everybody has their own opinions. I think personally, when it comes to the 83s, I like to see them. I think uniforms from the 70s and 80s just look kind of cool. And B, give me a little color. Let's see a little color. You see, it's black and white all the time. And to get a little color in there is a good thing. I saw our guy KPW with a great idea. Let's just scrap gray in general.
I'm always back to
what baby blue from the 70s and 80s.
Delicious.
Or just wear your team color on the road. Why not?
I like
those
gray.
Chicago White Sox baby blue with the Chicago script and the White Sox underneath the underline.
When it was navy, right? Wasn't it navy on baby blue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or red. They had red ones, too, with the Bill Melton era.
I think that's done a little bit too much. It's a little bit too twinny for me. Like, I think of the Twins when I think of powder blue. I just think
every team used to wear powder blue on the road.
Yeah. It looked better on TV.
It looked great on TV. It's great in real life, too.
I just think, like, the grays, especially with the black and white, you know, current, like, setup, like, I think it just looks way too good for the Sox. I mean, like, that's just a part of their color palette. Like, if the Yankees want to go away from gray, like, sure. You know, get a navy blue Yankee uniform, but whatever.
I also like the 83s because they're pullovers, and I think that button-up uniforms make no sense whatsoever.
I'm not sure if they're...
because of the sliding and... It's
just silly. Would you wear a button-down shirt to the gym?
No, but it's like... It was kind of like I equate this to my Little League playing. When we were Little Leagues, we had all these pullover shirts and the trucker hats with the adjustable things.
Sure.
And so... Ever since then, I've been always looking for jerseys with buttons on them and hats that are fitted. So because of this is what little leaguers
wear.
The pros wear the ones where they're buttoned up. If you don't wear one where they're buttoned up, you're still in Little League. Like, so we had all those jerseys that were all pullovers. Like, I get what you're saying, and it makes more sense what you're saying. It's kind of the manager's thing, too. Well, why are they wearing uniforms?
Exactly.
That's dumb. But, yes, I just that's my mentality as a youngster now growing up.
But I'm interested, like, I feel like you brought up maybe some of the players mentioned, like, the way that those are cut. Like, does it, like, I thought they had a preference on whether it be a pullover or a button down.
They might.
Okay. I thought maybe I was just.
I'm sure they do. They've probably all worn both. You know what I mean?
So, we did so many shows during the season. I mean, you know, how many times did people say something? But I did think that, I think I can recall, like, somebody saying on the team that, like, the buttons actually are better.
Well,
baseball jerseys just because
thing,
they, you those, can keep that, them looser or tighter, and you know
that embroidery is so big on there. If you have an authentic jersey, you know that yes. It's just gigantic. Whether it's buttoned down or not, it's so big
it's
on there.
Cumbersome.
So maybe having the buttons breaks that up a little bit, mm-hmm. and But yeah,
the SOX just across the
sure pole, or whatever. Yeah. If it's the Chicago on the road ones or something like that, you know. Yeah. So
and I think the vest also give you freedom. Like if you're a pitcher, you got some elbow and shoulder freedom instead of the starch of the jersey that's all stiff and stuff. You have now a shirt underneath. You can just wear a dry fit that's a form fitting. You have a little bit more freedom on your arm, especially if you're a hitter too. You got your shoulders are a little bit freer than the actual jersey.
I think, you know, you gave me the idea of throwing Scrabble pieces on the board to create stats.
Absolutely.
WS plus, weighted sleeves plus. Maybe we could figure out, you know, if there's a correlation between sleeves and no sleeves.
The White Sox won the only World Series wearing those jerseys for the most part.
You're not wrong.
No wonder people like them so much.
Yes.
Very, very important time. We're going to get to just some quick player stuff, and then we'll get into our final topic, which is a mailbag question from our guy, Ian. First off, Josh Harrison off the market. He is now going to Philadelphia. They lose Gene Segura and get Josh Harrison for a $2 million deal. We thought Harrison could still be a fit for the White Sox. Now he's off the market. Did the White Sox miss out, especially now seeing the salary?
No, as Vinny has been talking about, like, that's a pickup for the White Sox. You're like, you see Romy, you see Lenning, and you're like, ah, this is not working out. Let's go and get Josh Harrison, a veteran we know we're going to get from him. He played 119 games for the White Sox last year, gave quality effort, but he is in his proper role now with the Philadelphia Phillies, mostly as a coming-off-the-bench middle infielder. He played most of his games with the White Sox, I think, plus 85-plus games with the White Sox starting at second base. Fine if it's 2017. If it's 2022, a little troublesome. He was all right, even though his war, I think, was just above average. And so he'll go back to being the player that he has been the last couple years, as a nice role player, nice fill-in player. White Sox might have had other circumstances that made him more of a starter than the reserve that he was supposed to be. But now as a Philly, I think he'll be more of a player that you'll see the numbers. Our guy Steven Nicholas, who is not here today, is going to be very much more happier with the Josh Harrison that's going to be in Philadelphia, because they'll probably be hustling, because it'll be his only time during the week he'll be playing.
He was hustling off then. What is this? I don't.
I know that's
so
Steven's
wrong.
Thing.
I'll yell at Steven all day for that.
Old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you make of the Harrison signing?
I mean, yeah, good for Josh, good for the Phillies. I mean, a great clubhouse guy, obviously. So, you know, a clubhouse that already has experienced some winning, getting to the World Series last year, now can add a guy who's very professional and brings good vibes in there, too. The White Sox are going to find out whether Romy Gonzalez is the right bet, or Josh Harrison would have been a nice, relatively cheap safety net to bring in, because it sure seems like, you know, it's the unknown about, be it Romy or Lenin Sosa, that is causing people to think that is such a big need. I'm one of them. I think that some certainty and some, you know, knowing what you're going to get is very valuable when valuable spelled correctly. Yes. when you're going to try to compete for a championship. But if they have confidence in Romy, they have it for a reason, and we'll see. I definitely think people would probably argue that the ceiling could be higher for someone where you don't know what you're going to get versus getting very average play from Josh Harrison, but there's a world too where average would be an upgrade. And so it looked like an area that they were going to be able to upgrade this offseason. They opted to go in-house with something that we cannot judge until he starts putting up numbers, good or bad, once the season starts.
Well, do you think this sign is now that they are going in-house? Like, do you think that now that this kind of quote-unquote safety net of the guy that was here was still out there is gone, does this, you know, seem like it's more of Romy's job or in-house job?
No, I think White Sox fans, people who watch and follow this team, probably went to Josh Harrison right away because you just saw him last year. You're familiar with this guy. There are probably plenty of other Josh Harrison types or maybe a little lower, you know, average to below average out there, you know, who would sign a cheap or even a minor league deal maybe, you know, and I don't think this changes anything dramatically. It really would seem to me that if they wanted Josh Harrison, they would have gone out and got him. He might have been an option if you get far enough down the road, but now I think probably the same options exist that existed the other day, just with one fewer, and if the White Sox feel a need to go out and get somebody, they will, but they haven't yet.
White Sox will have Josh Harrison as the third home opponent that they will play. Giants will be the home opener on the 3rd, 5th, and 6th. Orioles are the next team to visit the South Side on the 14th, 15th, 16th.
Of April.
And then, of April. Yes. And then on April 17th, 18th, and 19th, Josh Harrison revenge game as the Phillies come to Chicago. And that's fun. I was looking, and I couldn't find the Phillies. I was looking in, you know, June, July. Couldn't find them. Saw the Mets and everything. Very fun just seeing every single team out there. So we will have a lot of revenge games.
Awesome.
Vince Velasquez revenge game on April 7th, 8th, 9th. Hopefully he's in the rotation.
Is he pitching in all those games?
One of them, maybe. we'd be lucky. We'd be blessed. So, yeah, definitely a lot of different headlines.
Going out there.
Angles. You're going out there that early?
First week in April. Well, I think Tanny's birthday is the first week in April. We're thinking about going out to Pittsburgh. We always, you know, if it's a Pittsburgh trip to be had, we're going to go to Pittsburgh.
It's going
to
be cold.
I mean, it's cold here.
I guess. but you know, hopefully that's
it's cold,
time.
But great.
Nice.
There's nothing better than Pittsburgh. Nothing. In baseball? No. And then the downtown area?
Nothing?
The Strip District over there in Oakland? Man.
Milwaukee or Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh. Mm. Definitely Pittsburgh.
You done Pittsburgh?
I haven't been to Pittsburgh. Okay. I know I've heard rave reviews for the ballpark, but...
I have not even gone to the Andy Warhol Museum yet, and I still have to go. I'm a big fan of Andy Warhol, so... We'll see if we can get that in. Permane's not in the ballpark. Permane's outside in the Strip District or downtown Pittsburgh is much better. That's where you get the fries and the sandwich.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You should go.
Well, don't they do that in Chicago, too? I think there's, like, Lucky's.
Yeah.
In Wrigleyville, I think they do that.
Yeah, you're supposed to eat, like, three sandwiches and you get, like, a free shirt.
Yeah, I'm all right. I don't know. I could just buy a shirt. Anyways, we'll take a quick break here. Oh,
Matthew already came to Seattle. You missed me. Sorry.
Come on. I mean, Seattle seems like a nice spot. Why not?
It's a good spot.
Double up. I mean, you go to Pittsburgh, you can go to Seattle again.
I can.
Too expensive?
That's a long flight. Pittsburgh to Seattle? It's got to be like 4.5 hours.
I'd probably do Chicago to Seattle. I don't know if I'd want to try to Pittsburgh.
I didn't like the stadium as much as I like the other ones. It's a good stadium, T-Mobile Stadium. But at the time, I was looking for the grasshoppers or the crickets that they serve in Edgar's Bar, which is named after Edgar Martinez. They ran out that day. I'm like, how do you run out of the main thing that you sell and the thing I'm coming here for?
Crickets?
Crickets or grasshoppers. One of the two. They have dead ones. That are, I think they're chocolate covered. And people say they taste good, just protein.
You could get like a hot dog. They sell that. Peanuts. They sell beer.
I know, but you can get
that
anywhere.
Yeah, you could get, but there is, you can get that anywhere else for a reason.
I just found out about and Matthew can probably back me up here, the Seattle-style hot dog. Are you familiar with this?
No.
The hot dog with cream cheese on it? Sounds good.
Hard pass.
I'm all in for that.
I love cream cheese and I love hot dogs, so I'm just thinking, do they work together?
I bet you can get one at T-Mobile Park or Stadium or whatever it is.
Okay. It's cream cheese, sautéed onions, and a pretzel bun.
Yeah.
Oh,
that bad.
Now we're improved.
I mean, onion.
Sounds amazing.
Okay. I won't hate. I mean.
Sounds real good.
Now I got to come out there. Sorry, Matthew.
I know you don't like. You just like that because there's no vegetables on it.
I was going to say, our famous hot dog is a salad. Give me the one with the cream cheese on it. Come on.
I like the salad. We're going to take a quick break. I like the salad. It's because I take Athletic Greens. Our next partner has a product I literally use every day. I started taking AG1s because I didn't really have the time. I really didn't know where to start with multivitamins, and they made it easy for me. For the past 10 months, we've been using Athletic Greens, and we love it, and it doesn't taste super healthy. Kind of has a mild tropical taste that we look forward to each and every morning. I'm using Wee because Herb and I use it. What is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, your ability to focus, and aging. It's why Herb, you know, looks so much younger than Luke Stuckmeyer. I think Stucky's on Athletic Greens, but still, you know.
I am much younger than Luke Stuckmeyer.
Exactly.
And like, I take Athletic Greens.
Exactly. You know, you're just helping her out so much more. All of the things for Herb to look as young as he does. It's lifestyle friendly whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. A cold brew is going to cost you about like $6. So, I mean, two packs of Athletic Greens, I mean, it's two cold brews right there. I mean, it just seems The math adds up to me. The math is mathin'. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No needs for millions of different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOSOX. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/CHGOSOX to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Thank you to Athletic Greens. Also got to let you know about Game Time, our good pals. They are the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. If you ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could, 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert, it is possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you never thought you could buy, and you won't find a better deal this season on Blackhawks, Bulls. They're in season. I just bought tickets to the National. That's not until May, but hey, there's a concert out there. There was the Tusk Fleetwood Mac cover band out at the Genesee Theater, where our guy Marco, who's picked up Game Time tickets, was telling me to go check it out. It was created by the fans, for the fans, and Game Time guarantees the lowest price. If you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. And the best way to support us is by buying your ticket through the link in the description. You could find any tickets to any, you know, concert event that you want to go to. Join over the 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app. Score the best seats to all your favorite events. Let's get into our mailbag question here. Our guy Ian Robo from across the pond asked about a hard cap for the MLB. With the news of the NFL cap being raised today, is it not time for MLB to have a hard cap? What do we make of that? Do we kind of like the looseness of MLB? Obviously, we know Steve Cohen is dabbling in the CBT market, the competitive balance tax, but he's not afraid of it. But what do we make of the way that MLB and the salary cap is currently structured?
I mean, you just saw it. You just mentioned it. CBT acts as a de facto cap, not a hard cap like MLB or like the NFL or NBA, NHL have, but I think the fact that the players get to earn as much as the market dictates is a good thing. And owners like Steve Cohen, who want to buy these players and give them market value, should be allowed to. Not at this is an arbitrary number I got to give you because I got to fit you in the rest of the cap of this team. If you are a team that, like, I remember the Cubs a couple years ago were crying poor, having biblical losses, and they were hardly even close to the cap. It's not prohibitive. The competitive balance tax is not prohibitive like the NBA, where if you go over it once, you have to pay like dollar for dollar the next year if you're messing up. Major League Baseball doesn't have that. You just have to pay a portion of that salary. And so it's not that prohibitive to go over the competitive balance tax. And you should, as an owner, you should want your team to be as the best as it can be if you're not going to be developing talent. You should be wanting to go out and get free agents. So I think the Players Association will never have a hard cap, and they shouldn't, because it limits the amount of money that they can make. And owners should be willing to pay players more money, because you pay them more, you get better performances, theoretically, out of those players, and the product on the field will be better, which means the TV money will be better, which means it'll enrich your own pocket. So you got to spend money to make money. I think MLB is in the perfect situation right now where you have people who want to go over that competitive balance tax, and then some people use it, and I think the White Sox, the Cubs, other teams use the competitive balance tax as kind of a hard cap, which they've really never gone over.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see basically, Herb, exactly what you just said, which is the current system is essentially a hard cap. But it's all self-imposed, right? I mean, yeah, there is that rule, and maybe you don't want to pay a little extra more if you are already paying a whole lot, right? But, I mean, look across baseball at the other teams. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the Oakland A's are ever going to come into the CBT. It's just that their owner has decided, I'm putting a cap on my team's salary. The Marlins, I'm putting a cap on my team's salary. Heck, the Cleveland Guardians, who are winning,
yep,
do the same thing. I think baseball has a lot more parity than, you know, the everyday fan probably realizes, just because they're so focused on their team. How come my team isn't part of this parity kind of thing? But I mean, you look at basically the last 9 World Series, only one There's only been one repeat winner, and that's the Astros. I mean, teams are able to compete if they choose to compete. Often is the case. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way if the play on the field doesn't match up. The big difference between baseball and especially football, but other sports as well, the salaries are guaranteed. Right. And I mean, I think that's something that is never going to, you're never going to go backwards on that front. And so that's probably the main reason why nobody's ever going to institute a salary cap, is because, well, I'm literally committing all this money. There is no flexibility like there is in the NFL, even with a cap in place. So you're absolutely right, Herb. If we're talking about realistic outcomes, this is never happening. The players union has way too much power. This would never, ever happen. But at the same time, you're kind of seeing it happen anyway, just because the owners can pay what they decide to pay.
Yeah, and like it's a little bit of collusion on that end too. It's just like, you know, the reason why Bryce Harper and Manny Machado signed so late was because I don't think that teams wanted to approach that $300 million number, and the Harper and Machado waited them out.
Well, even if it's not that necessarily, you know, you use that C word, which nobody likes, but you know, it doesn't have to be that specific, right? I mean, there's only 30 teams, and this is Major League Baseball. They make up Major League Baseball. There's only one. You know what I mean? I mean, people, government officials sometimes want to get all puffy chested and talk about, oh, we're going to sue one of the sports leagues for antitrust violation and stuff like that. I mean, they are the only game in town, really. What, are you going to go watch independent minor league baseball instead of Major League Baseball? I mean,
Dick Durbin wants you to go watch the Thunderbolts.
Right, right. That's probably not very realistic. But yeah, they operate in a system where they're basically capping salaries on an individual basis just because that's what they decide to do. I mean, you would like to imagine that every one of these owners would say, whatever it takes every year. A fan base would like to think that way, but that's not really how it works in practice. And so that right there, you could describe that as a salary cap in some fashion.
Yeah, but I mean, still, like you mentioned the guarantee money, and you look at the star of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. He signed this, like, what people thought was a jaw-dropping contract of $450 million for 10 years. But you think about Shohei Ohtani, he's probably going to eclipse that. Oh, and easily. You look at the guaranteed money on Patrick Mahomes, $141 million. I mean, Carlos Rodon just signed for more money, right? Just this year. So
Chris Bryant signed for more money, I think, last year.
Chris Bryant signed for more money. And they're just trying to play 500 baseball.
Yeah.
So, like, I just think that
comment. Oh, wow. I forgot about it. Wow.
He's got that first name for a reason. I just think that, you know, it is a great spot for baseball. And I think, like, you're right, the Players Association just has way too much power to ever let that change. I think it's great for baseball that there isn't a cap. And, you know, if anything, I would probably ask for a floor just so there isn't teams like the Reds and Pirates that, you know, can choose just not to spend at all. But I think it's interesting because we've seen the Rays develop a kind of pretty good, you know, system by doing that. So, and the Cleveland Guardians as well.
You're like, right. I mean, I think, for a lot of folks, it's just as much entertainment or just as much appreciation in watching the Rays do what they do as there is in watching Steve Cohen and the Mets do what they've started doing. But hey, maybe Steve Cohen doing what he's doing convinces a few more ridiculously wealthy people that, oh, maybe I should be a baseball owner. And maybe this is the start of the change of the way owners behave.
And maybe we'll see more class systems. There's the upper class that, you know, is always in, you know, Steve Cohen, the Yankees, on those higher upper teams. And maybe we'll see more of a division where teams sit like in that $150 million to $75 million range. And then there's teams that, like the Phillies, or not, like the Pirates, the Reds, the Guardians or Rays, don't even choose to spend at all.
Well, that's what a cap is supposed to prevent. Event in theory, right? But I mean, I think you leave it this way, just look at it, and I mean, Herb, you and I reference this all the time, the amount of money that the Yankees spent in the first decade of this century. Yep. they didn't win nearly as much as they were winning when they had homegrown guys, you know. So I mean, it goes to show you that spending is not the only thing you need to do. And Steve Cohen might learn that the hard way this year. You know, you still got to play and get the results on the field.
Well, and you look at that division too. The Phillies have spent $1 billion basically on their team. The Mets continue to spend a ton on Carlos Correa, and the Braves kind of have that homegrown vibe. Obviously, they've acquired Sean Murphy and Matt Olson in trades, basically just poaching the Oakland A's.
From the A's.
But
supplementing the roster where they need it. That's smart. That's what they're – I think the Braves are example where – Alex or Anthopoulos took what Rick Hahn did, were signing your players before they hit arbitration or free agency to keep those prices down, and then supplement those other places where you're short. When Freddie Freeman goes to LA, you say, hey, okay, let's go and get a Matt Olson who can be just as good as Freddie Freeman. Okay, our catcher situation is good. Travis d'Arnaud was excellent, but we can get better with Sean Murphy out there. Let's go and do that. I think that's the ideal situation, what the White Sox should have been doing. And it's, you know, neither of the ways of spending a lot with Cohen or not spending a lot with what the Rays do is the correct way. I just think if you're a team that knows, hey, I'm not going to spend a lot of money, you better bone up on all your resources for scouting, international scouting, player development, all that good stuff like the Rays do, because you know that you're not being in the waters where the big-time players. So we knew this season that Carlos Correa wasn't coming to the White Sox. We knew all the big free agents weren't coming to the White Sox. We knew the ballpark we play in, the Andrew Benintendi ballpark, which is a good signing. But I think more focus should be in the development of those players that you do draft and the scouting of the players before you draft them if you're not going to be in those waters.
I agree. Yeah. And two, like, I mean – we see still, I mean, like the Cardinals somehow run their organization and still get, you know, competitive balance picks. So like they're still teams that are aggressive and still spend money and still are getting boosted because they have, you know, or small markets, quote
and
unquote.
And no huge free agents for the Cardinals. Just trades for Arenado, trade for Goldschmidt. Other people paid them. And now they're like, okay, cool. That's cool.
It's a good deal.
We'll have them on our team.
A couple of years have gone by and now you don't want to pay it.
Enjoy Austin Gomber.
Enjoy 500 baseball. Let's get into a new White Sox as the White Sox claimed a pitcher off waivers. And I want to go to Vinny first because I'm going to butcher this man's name on purpose. I'm going to butcher it consistently. I want to give him the respect of welcome you into the organization. You can properly say his name, and then I will continue to butcher it until forever.
That was quite the run-up.
Yeah.
So you just want me to tell people.
Yeah. I mean, who
the White Sox claimed the very appropriately named A.J. Alexi off of waivers from the Minnesota Twins earlier today. And so everybody can cue your Hawk Harrelson impression hope that today was yes, history.
A.J. Alexi.
Yes.
Mercy.
Yes.
Stretch.
Yes. Yes.
I love this. Yes. This is fantastic. He's got an interesting profile. He's a starter. So, you know,
sometimes,
yeah. Never made a start in the MLB, but has made a lot of starts and has been mostly a starter in minor league baseball, has a very good fastball, not great command, has like, you know, one of those guys that has about 11 K per nine, but also has about seven walks per nine. But the big thing is he's got a good fastball in the major leagues, about 44% strike rate on the fastball. So that kind of tells you where certain pitches could be reined in. But sits about 94. And the thing that I found very interesting, moving from Texas, first was picked up by the Dodgers, then was moved to Texas in the Yu Darvish trade, spent some decent time in Texas, then was picked up by the Nationals, then traded to the Twins, and then the Twins just released him after they picked up, I forget the corresponding move.
Pedro Lopez and all the players?
Yeah. Oh, Michael A. Taylor.
Okay.
When they added Michael A. Taylor, they put Alexei on assignments, and I think it's an interesting pickup. It's a guy that if they can, Ethan Katz can fix and figure out how to just tighten everything and get that control down. It's a guy that I find very interesting just because if they can get his velocity up on a slider, he's been graded before with a plus curveball. His fastball is already a plus pitch. It's been graded as about a 60. His curveball is about a 55. I think his slider, when he throws it hard, it's something that could be pretty viable. I think it's an interesting pickup. We'll see what the White Sox can do. But he's a guy that's already shortened his arm action, something the White Sox like. If he fits the profile, basically, he throws hard, and he's got a short arm action, and Katz will fix him. So an interesting pickup from the White Sox, another flyer, basically.
Yeah, I mean, and let's hope that people view it as that, because there were some Twitter reactions, you know, people being like, what? This is what they're going to do to improve the rotation? And, I mean, come on, it's a waiver claim. It might be somebody who never pitches for them in the major leagues.
At best, he beats Davis Martin out. Like, I think that's like, you
I
know,
mean, Davis Martin was good last year.
Right. Like yeah. That's, and I would be pretty shocked for a guy that, you know, has such shocking and stark command.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I mean, listen, I think a lot of people complain about the depth of the pitching staff, particularly the starting pitching staff. And even before all the potential uncertainty surrounding Mike Clevinger moving forward, there wasn't really much depth past the sixth starter in the White Sox rotation. So, and organizationally so, guys that are ready to pitch at the major league level. So if this is a guy who can be that depth, hey, they added depth. You know, I mean, I would be absolutely stunned if A.J. Alexi is making, you know, 20 starts for the major league team this year. Something will have gone incredibly right, but that would be very surprising.
I would be excited and sad. Excited because we get to say A.J. Alexi all day. Mm-hmm. Sad because he's bad. Well, right now he's at least bad. Maybe he'll be, you know, diamond in the rough, but
that's
real rough right now.
Talking about with the White Sox and other teams doing the thing where they know they're not going to be in the big-time free agent market for pitchers. And A.J. Alexi has an electric arm. You have a pitching coach who we've seen has transformed many of pitchers' lives with his training, his teachings, and all that stuff. It's a move that is minuscule but could pay off big time for the White Sox. Like Vinny said, maybe he doesn't make the major league team. Maybe he's like, oh, hey, I like this organization. I like what I've been doing in the minor leagues or in spring training. I'll go down to Charlotte, do some stuff, and stretch out as a starter. And we got some starting depth down there. And maybe he goes down and dominates down there in Charlotte with Ethan Katz, Tulich, and the people down there in Charlotte. So it's a move that I'm not looking for him to be the superstar. I'm not looking for him to be in the team at all. But it could be a good depth piece because they were struggling mightily last year at Charlotte and subsequent down leagues.
Yeah, just to keep guys healthy. So if he gives Charlotte 20 starts, that'd be fantastic just for the White Sox organization and their depth. That's going to do it for the CHGO Live White Sox podcast. We appreciate everyone for hanging out with us in the chat. We will be here tomorrow at 4 p.m. That's Captain Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our yes. CHGO White Sox beat writer. Again, make sure to check out his piece at All CHGO about the spring training roster invites. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at Ecknerwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Love you, JJ, but Davis Martin does not have the best slider on the White Sox. Dylan Cease exists. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thank you to Kevin Wells for producing. Go Sox.